Hey guys, this is Corey Parker, Supercoach God, and you are listening to the Supercoach Champions podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish again, and I'm joined by someone who may have been saying a fair few F words and C words as his round imploded last week, but it's not Reese Walsh. We have a double shift from Matty White, the 2022 overall champion. Matty, now we know that Walshy is a bit of a liar and, suspended for 3 games. He's in your team, isn't he?
No, he's not, thankfully. That's one thing that has gone right, mate. Look, I don't hate the Reese Walsh comparison, although he's been a little more successful in the last 6 months than I have, mate, and I can't say I look anything like Reese. I think his first thing he needs to do is get a better defense lawyer, and Dave Fifita is not that guy.
He tried his hardest. We'll give him credit for that, but yeah, a little bit of a slip there. Look, honestly, it feels roughly thereabouts, and you know, I was thinking like it's going to be somewhere 2 or 3 weeks, and you know he's going to miss Origin as one of those weeks, and I think that's fair enough. I think this clearly makes him a trader, right? There's no way you can really hang on to him through this period.
He's got to be back around 21, right? I know they have had some people in the past, I don't know, use Origin or even Test matches as a way to get out of their suspension, and there was no guarantee they were actually ever going to be in the team. They were either out injured or something. I can't remember who the exact guy was, but I've got it.
Victor Radley.
Yeah, okay, there you go. But yeah, he's got to be back round 21. And then they do have that round 25 bye, I believe. So yeah, Reese Walsh, he's got to be a sell.
Yeah, and the Dolphins this round and Bulldogs round 20, those were the matchups you really wanted. After that, you know, once he's back round 21, Bunnies, Roosters, Cowboys, Eels, bye, Raiders, and then Storm. So not the friendliest run home after this. So it's pretty rough for those. I know a fair few super coaches took the punt on Reesey last round, thinking he was going to get a good score against the Titans, who traditionally leak a lot to fullbacks. And then obviously, yeah, the upcoming couple of matchups. So it's, yeah, unfortunately, just really, really rough there. Other breaking news, I guess you could say, it's come out today that Dylan Brown, who's you know had his next day in court this morning, he's now pleaded guilty to 2 counts of sexual touching. And apparently the other 3 charges will be dropped. Now, we don't know what that means in terms of sentencing. And at this stage, he's not playing this week, obviously. And I'd be surprised if he's not then copping a club or NRL punishment on top of, you know, the legal punishment that he's incurred. So I would imagine, there's going to be some further weeks out for dill bags there. But yeah, look, it's amazing how much happens in the space of 12 hours, even from when we recorded last night till now. But anyway, look, there's plenty to chat about. As always, we will crunch some numbers. We'll talk briefly on captaincy, but more so because captains are pretty simple. Then we're going to unpack a couple of quite interesting questions in our strategy chat for today. So without further ado, let's jump straight into it. Crunch numbers like I do. They call me the king of the spreadsheets. Got them all printed out on my bed sheets. My new computer's got the clock. All right, so thanks again to our good friend Carl McGrath, accountant, for sponsoring the segment Crunching the Numbers. If you want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes, make sure you get Carl to help you out. So the last few weeks I've been, you know, looking at different positions and also looking at the buy round scoring and things like that. I wanted to take a bit of a change from that. I wanted to take a look at, you know, which teams are conceding and scoring a lot of points as a whole. So not necessarily identifying specific players, but more, you know, who are the teams that are leaking lots of Supercoach points and also scoring lots of Supercoach points as a collective team. So I'm going to borrow some numbers from nrlsupercoachstats.com. So if you haven't used that site before, it's a really, really great resource. It is free, but obviously we would encourage you, if you like what you're seeing on there, to donate and support Matt and the other. So this is a different Matt, not yourself. Matt and the other people involved in running that site. But honestly, I don't think I could Supercoach without this site. This is how much I rely on it. They have a really cool breakdown where you can look at scores by round And, you know, they also work out the averages scored and allowed by each team. They even look at, you know, how many scores are allowed in each kind of bracket in terms of team points allowed. So you can look at how many scores are being allowed by teams over 80, between 80 to 99 or over 100, or, you know, how many players are scoring under 40. So, it gives an indication. It's not obviously foolproof. It's an interesting breakdown to see. So I'm not going to go through everything because there's so much to dig through, but I wanted to highlight a couple of things that are, you know, it's probably something that we could look at and see from our eyes, but sometimes it's good to know the numbers really do back it up. So it's no surprise that the highest averaging team for Supercoach points is currently the Panthers. They average as a team 894 points per round, which equates to roughly 52.6 per player. That's closely followed by the Sharks with 880 points per round. And then we've got the Eels with 866. And then a little bit step further down, we've got the Bunnies at 849 points per round. Now, it's worth noting, obviously, some of these scores, you know, they are a little bit skewed. The Eels obviously started quite slowly and then they've been running hot. The Panthers also, you know, they've had some slow weeks and they've also, you know, had some pretty big weeks when the likes of Cleary were massive and stuff like that. So not having Cleary around has also impacted their scoring as well. So, look, again, you know, that's no surprise, right? We know that the Panthers, the Sharks, the Eels and the Bunnies are all great attacking teams. There is a little bit of a tier break before you get down to the likes of the Warriors and also the Broncos who, you know, also score quite well. And then the Storm. And surprisingly, I think this is a surprise packet, the Knights are up there as the next kind of averaging team overall. So, you know, that's the top eight or so. But there's definitely a, you know, the standouts are the Panthers and the Sharks. Bit of a gap to the Eels and the Bunnies. Then there's a further gap down to the Warriors, Broncos, Storm and the Knights. Any surprises from all of that?
You're right. The Eels have been on a crazy hot run. And I think that's a big part in my recent slide. I don't own any Parramatta Eels players outside Hopgood. So I guess at the start of the season, I might not have had them up there in the three position. And I think Nathan Cleary being out has probably brought Penrith back a kick peg, right? Like if Nath had been playing all these games, you'd anticipate them to be even further in front. But yeah, like I said, no major surprises. I think we know that we're picking our players based more on players. I think the next thing you're about to go through is probably who's giving up the most points. That's probably more topical, right?
Absolutely spot on there. As you said, though, we do need to look at what teams are conceding heaps of points. And look, I mean, who would your guess be without without me unveiling any numbers on you yet?
Look, I'm going to go with Phil Gould and the Bulldogs.
Very good guess. They are the second team right now, so not bad. It's actually probably only been the last 2 weeks that's really blown this out. It's the Dolphins currently. They're averaging 878 points conceded, Supercoach points that is, which equates to roughly 51.6, 51.7 points per player. The Bulldogs just under that, 864. And then the next step down, you're looking at, you've got the Cowboys, surprisingly, at 848, tied with the Dragons at 848 as well. I guess the Cowboys, you know, they've had a really, it's kind of like a season of two halves, isn't it?
Well, they gave up 66 to the Tigers, right? So that would have cost them a few points.
Yeah, that round you mentioned, they conceded 1,248 points as a team, which, as you can see, like when the top teams are conceding roughly 880, 70 or thereabouts, when you can see 1,248 in one round, absolutely monstrous. So, yeah, it's a good thing you highlighted that there. And then you drop down a little bit more. You've got the Knights with 842 points per game conceded. And then you're getting towards the likes of the Raiders, the Seagulls, and even the Roosters at 818, 813, and the Roosters at 810. So, look, again, not many team names that really stand out there. I think these are pretty much the ones we expected. And, you know, you look at the other side, this is probably interesting as well, where, you know, the teams that you're always trying to avoid, like the Panthers, right, they're conceding 734 Supercoach points per game. Clearly number one by some margin. And then the next name is the Storm, 764. No surprises there. Then you're getting to the Sharks, 773. Broncos 776. Now, there is one surprising name here, and it is the West Tigers 781, the next stingiest when it comes to Supercoach points. So it's quite interesting because I know we've said it a few times, but the Tigers are not actually conceding that many points when it comes to Supercoach, even though they have potentially conceded lots of points on the scoreboard, for example. You know, we talked about it earlier in the season, but at some point, Tigers were tied or you know, just very close to the Panthers in terms of the number of 100-plus scores conceded and even the number of 80-plus scores conceded. Now, just jumping over to that, again, it's another tool that's on the website here, nrlsupercoachstats.com. But the Tigers and the Panthers are now tied. They've only each have only conceded 300-plus scores against them, which is just, that's mind-blowing, right, when you think about, again, the Tigers and how they've traveled on the whole. But if you expand it to, you know, 80-plus, so including 80 to 99 points and then the 100-plus, so the Panthers are still by far and away the number one. So they've only conceded 10 scores of 80 to 99. So basically only 13 Supercoach players have scored 80 or more against the Panthers all season, which is wild considering we're sitting here about to go into round 18. And then the Tigers, again, really not that far away. They've conceded 18, so 21 scores all up. This is obviously where the gaps bridge a little bit to the Bunnies. So they've only conceded 14 and 7 in terms of 700-plus scores and 14, 80-plus, so 21 all up. And then you've also got the Broncos with 500-plus scores and 17, 80-plus scores. So it's quite interesting when you break it down like that. But the Tigers are absolutely a surprise packet. And even though, you know, you look at the matchups of this round, a lot of people are thinking the Cowboys will absolutely smash the Tigers. They might, but they might still not give up that many Supercoach points. So I think that's something to consider. Maybe for those really, you know, keen to bring in, say, like a Scotty Drinkwater or, you know, and take a risk on like Val Holmes or someone else who's playing for the Cowboys, thinking this is the matchup to target, maybe some food for thought, I suppose.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like I know I've looked at the draw and you put the Tigers in a not too dissimilar category to the Dolphins and the Dogs. But they're worlds apart by the way of Supercoach points conceded. So yeah, definitely a worthwhile thing to consider.
So yeah, we'll leave that one there. Definitely get in touch with Carl as it's well and truly coming up to tax time with the financial year about to end in the next couple of days. So get Carl to do your tax return and he'll legally maximize your tax refund, whether it is just a basic tax return or accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on shares, or even crypto trading. Carl can help you out and record everything correctly. And as we always say, Carl being the owner and a small business himself, you'll be speaking directly with him. Carl is the one who does all your work. He doesn't outsource any of it overseas or, you know, offload it to any minions and junior staff to do it for him. He does it all himself. And again, because he is a small business, he has very few overheads, so he can pass the savings on to his clients. So we remind you again, he does do a special for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners. That's $99 for a basic tax return. And even if your finances are not that basic, you've got something a little bit more complex, he'll look after you on price as always. All right, let's jump over to captains.
Good morning, Captain.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking.
Aye, aye, Captain.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy.
All right, so Nico Hines. All right, done. Next.
It might be that simple. It really might. Especially with Reece Walsh going down, I'm running out of names.
Yeah, look, it does seem like when you look, it's not even thinking about the order of the play and stuff like that. You look at the matchups and you kind of think, there are only so many players I would be considering because a lot of the Supercoach relevant guys are all obviously injured or, you know, they've got tough matchups against the Panthers, for example, or, you know, they've just not been in great form Supercoach-wise. So I honestly think, you know, it's not a week to overthink it. We don't need to spend too much time on this. However, because obviously every team's different, there might be some merit to thinking of, well, if you've only got 17 or 18 available this week because you've been, you know, hit by suspensions and injuries and all that type of stuff, there may be some merit to just sticking with the vice captaincy on Nico. And in that case, who would you throw out if you needed to captain someone later in the round?
If you needed to captain someone, maybe someone like Kalen Ponga. I know they play against the Dogs 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. Not the worst shout. Maybe even Marju in that game if you own him.
I like that shout, honestly. That's one of the names I would kind of gravitated towards too, especially after diving into those numbers, looking at, you know, how the Bulldogs have struggled. I guess, in, you know, not to throw out drink water as an option, but if you're feeling frisky, it's always rough trying to captain him because he's got such low base. But once he gets going, as we've seen, you know, 140 last start, he's definitely got the ceiling. And despite it being the Tigers, this is in Townsville, I would back him to be a fairly solid option. I mean, there's got to be at least two or three attacking stats on offer for him, I reckon. So, yeah, I think Drinky is risky, but definitely an option if you, again, you can have a fairly risk-free shot at the vice captaincy on Nico. Outside of that, I mean, if you're really going to get wild, I mean, Cam Munster off a rest, big game. He is a big game player. We know that. And he doesn't really rely on, you know, good or bad matchups necessarily to choose when he wants to go large. So I guess that always means he's somewhat in contention. Even, I mean, you know, the Panthers don't have Cleary. So ultimately they have been a little bit more susceptible to leaking points. The Cowboys, you know, managed to put on a fairly, you know, high score against them. So it's not with, I mean, I think even Dearden got close to a ton that round as well. Although they didn't have, you know, their origin contingent as well as Cleary that week.
If you're incredibly, incredibly frisky, there's a name that I throw up. Maybe not many people own him. And if Reece Walsh was playing, I'd be more keen. But someone like Herbie Farnworth or an outside back for the Broncos against the Dolphins, who knows, they might not make any tackles. And if you're feeling super keen, Herbie.
That's honestly, I didn't expect that to be the name you threw out, but I can see it. I would not advocate for that, even as a Broncos fan. Like, I just think the upside is definitely much more capped when you don't have a Reece Walsh there. He's opened up so much for the outside backs just, you know, through his speed and through the way they've designed the attack for, you know, to take advantage of that, the speed mismatches that he can get up to. So, yeah, not for me, but look, I can understand targeting the leakiest team right now, Supercoach points-wise, so... It's the only downside is obviously no Walshy at the back there. Look, probably another name we can throw out is Dave Fifita, right? He's just been so constant. It's almost like the forgotten man, effectively. But yeah, look, there's not much else. I'm gonna just slap the armband on Nico and not think twice, really.
What if you don't have Nico? Do you
get him in and then you slap the armband on him?
Yeah, okay, fair point. No further comment.
I mean, look, if you haven't got Nico, then he's the guy you need to have in your team this round. Whether or not you captain him, like, I just, it'd be terrifying not to have him. Basically, I'd be writing off my head-to-head if that was the case, or writing off my overall chances effectively.
Yeah, fair point.
All right, we'll keep that one simple. We'll jump into our strategy chat now.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, so this is a question that we didn't really quite get to last week, or that we were talking through strategy discussions. So for me, I wanted to spend, you know, because we dug into the numbers, I wanted to spend a little time comparing what happened in round 13 to what happened in round 16 and trying to work out, well, what can we learn from these two rounds that we can apply to round 19? Obviously, you know, focusing on these big buy rounds, the best 13 scoring, strategically what we can try to take advantage of as a result. So to summarize, obviously, if you want to go through the numbers again, just listen back to previous episodes where we have crunched numbers on buy round scoring. I think it was 2 weeks ago in this episode, 2 weeks ago, that we looked at round 13 or round 16 that we dove into last week. So those were the episodes you look at. Round 13, it was basically okay to run less than 13 and still score really well. That's, you know, a lot of players had 12 or 13 available because of the carnage we saw right at the end. You know, plenty of people who thought they were going to have 15 or 16 were scraping for 13, even after trades at the end of, you know, Teamless Tuesday and final teams for round 13. So that was something that was, you know, we were surprised by, right? We thought you need more than 13 and, you know, that would help you score well. But lots of big scores that were rolled out, even with only 12 playing, as long as you had the right guys, basically. Comparatively, round 16, you needed to have at least 15, I think, to really go well, because you wanted to drop out some of your, you know, Sonny Luke, Franklin Pele, even Ruben Garrick type scores. And you needed to have those extra numbers to be able to, you know, drop those popular players out of your best 13. So it almost feels like we had the two extremes, basically, in the first two rounds that we've had this best 13 scoring. I mean, does that feel accurate to you?
Yeah, Ruben Garrick's a perfect example, right? You would have expected him to be one of, we spoke going into round 16, as you needed those center wing guys with high upside. That was how you scored big in round 13. And then round 16 comes along and Ruben Garrick delivers you a duck egg. So, yeah, it really showed that numbers is helpful. I know it takes a lot of planning to get more than 13 in those big buy rounds, especially with the origin carnage and just general carnage that's been going on in the NRL the last couple of weeks. So I think round 19, I'd be looking to trend that way to having more than 13 if possible.
Yep. So I guess you're feeling round 16 might be a little bit more typical of what we would normally expect. Round 13, a bit of an outlier?
I think so. Well, judging on my round last round, I would needed to drop all 17 of my players and get another new 13. So if that's anything to go by, I'd try and get 27 guys ready for round 19.
Yeah, I mean, statistically, that makes sense, right? If you have more numbers available, you're more likely to be able to cut out some of those low scores. So, you know, it's not rocket science to be able to do that. But I guess the whole difficulty we have is trying to balance, because each one of these best 13 rounds have been matched up with, obviously, a really tough follow-up round. 14, 17, both been brutal so far. Round 20, though, I actually think that might be the toughest round of our season. And for me, I think the reason is because, look, I don't know how many origin players you have, but we saw last year after game three, you know, teams really wanted to rest their origin guys. And fair enough, because it's been a tough season, lots of games in a row. And not just a physical exhaustion that people feel after origin, but there's also an emotional one as well, because you're on such a high, you're so much adrenaline. And, you know, if you win the series, you're probably parting away for a fair bit. So pulling up after the game three, like, I think the Panthers rested all their guys. The Cowboys rested all their guys. This is from last year. I'm not sure it's going to be quite like that this year because, again, we saw the Panthers, they've rested their guys already. So there's a possibility that they've seen, you know, this is a longer season. We need to get these guys to rest earlier in the season, and then maybe they get a week off later. There is a chance that not as many players get rested. But for me, I just think there's so many guys who play Origin that have a higher than normal chance of not backing up. Coupled with the Bunnies, the Raiders and the Dragons, not so much, but the other two, I know lots of people have Joey Tarpane, Corey Horsburgh. They've got Cody Walker and Alex Johnston, and there's so many Bunnies players that are relevant, right? So I just think it's going to be really brutal. We said previously you didn't want to have more than five or six guys from those three teams that have the post big bye round bye, but you know, I'm looking at my team and, you know, how many Raiders and Bunnies do you have right now? And Dragons, if you have any?
Six right now. And I don't see that. Well, honestly, I wasn't planning on trading any of those out before round 20. So that's not going to be pretty. Especially, I'm just looking at the draw. I anticipate, we've spoken, Nico will probably get a jersey. And then the Sharks actually play in New Zealand. So is Nico going to get on a plane and travel to New Zealand after Origin? Who knows?
Yeah, it's a good shout. I'm not sure if Nico is straight back in. It's really hard to tell with Freddie, and that's the big unknown as well. We just don't know who's going to suddenly disappear from our availabilities for round 19. But I guess, you know, I'm looking at my squad. I actually don't have as many as I thought. I thought I was going to be in a world of hurt. I actually just have Joey Tarpane and then Cody Walker, Alex Johnston. I don't have any Dragons. And yeah, I was a little bit surprised when I saw that. So I might not be so stretched, but I do have a couple of guys, you know, Sonny Luke, I don't want to play him, right? You know, I've got a Braden Williami still, basically enough now. I've got a Samuel Afainu. So I've got enoughs just appearing in my team now. So that's hard, right? When you've got a full squad of 25 players who may or may not be available, that's when you take three out of that, then you're trying to field, you know, 17 from, you know, a squad of 22, basically, with then multiple guys on the bye. So it gets really, really sketchy. I don't know where people's nuff situations are at. Do you have any nuffs at the moment yourself?
Well, Sonny Luke, who I don't think close is enough when you're going to play 60 minutes, Wilf. I think that's a little harsh. But, yeah, we've got him. I've got Wirimu Greg, who's like 400,000 but got a sore foot. So he's basically as good as gone. And he will turn into enough when I need the money. And I think I'm actually going to be bringing in another Nuff this week. So that gets me to three.
So potentially you have three guys who either can't be played or the points are negligible in Sonny Luke's case. And then you're going to have, you know, potentially six guys on the bye. So I'm, you know, you'll maybe got another two trades, maybe a boost if you've still got one. So maximum three trades that you can make in round 20. I don't know if you've got any Origin guys in there as well, because if they don't back up, you know, you could be fielding 13 even after trades.
Absolutely. Well, we said Harry Grant, look, he's as good as gone after game three, you would think. He's got to be due for a shower.
Yep.
Is there some other?
I tend to agree with that one there.
Tedesco, he's probably as good as wanting a shower, although I'd love to get rid of him. yeah, you're right. I'm slim pickings.
So I think this is where, you know, we can get so caught up in thinking about round 19 that round 20 is going to sneak up on us even more so than any other round this season. I mean, I think Val Holmes is, you know, as we said yesterday, primed for a rest because, you know, he's backed up both games so far. As you say, you know, if Nico Hines does get selected and he's not flying to New Zealand in a short turnaround, the Sharks don't really necessarily need him. But, you know, it's hard to tell, right? They do have a pretty capable backup in, you know, Braden Trindle, who's done the job for them in the past. So there's so many unknowns. I think there's a genuine case to, you know, make sure you're counting your numbers and planning. And this is exactly why I took the punt on someone like a Brendan Piakura last round, thinking I wanted to downgrade. I want someone who can play, but also someone I was pretty confident would be playing round 20 because, you know, I'm kind of factoring in the Broncos. They've been really stretched and they haven't really had an opportunity to rest guys because they haven't, you know, they haven't had buys up until now. Now, the injuries they've got, it might change things a little bit, so who knows. But I was pretty much set that I was thinking, you know, Payne Haas will get a rest, Paddy Carrigan will have a rest, and Piakura will just get either a starting jersey or decent minutes regardless and be playable, basically. So, yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, this segues quite well into our next topic, which is looking at, you know, and the questions coming in from the Champs Discord. They're asking for who we can, you know, nuff out, basically. The question comes in from Reese from the Champs Discord. He's asking who are the best NPRs to trade in? And then to follow up on that question, we've got Polly who's asking any NPRs that we could look at who might be one and dones, who play round 19 and then disappear for the rest of the season. So let's work backwards because I think we kind of thought about this before we jumped on, but we're both on the same page. I don't think there's anyone that you want to get that's going to be a one and done that's going to play round 19 and be dual position as well, right?
No, it's if you had a crystal ball, maybe it might be a little helpful, but it is quite difficult to find a one-and-done guy in round 19 a week in advance, not knowing what Freddie's going to do, not knowing what injuries might come up, and, also have that dual position potential.
Yeah, there's no one that, you know, I mean, are you trading someone in who's playing this week or not? Like, we thought maybe that McGrady from the Dolphins might be a shot, but he got dropped straight away, and Tessie News back in the team, so I wouldn't be trading anyone thinking that they might get a gig next week. I think you're better off just going for a straight enough. So on that, you know, one of the champs did a really good breakdown. This is Matt Cullen. There's so many Matts out there who seem to be good at Supercoach. But Matt Cullen from the Champs Guild did a great analysis. So shout out to Matt here. Saved me a lot of time because I was going to do this literally, but he got there before I did. But he identified effectively that the Bulldogs are really elite when it comes to for nuffs, basically. They only really have one early game post round, you know, round 18, 19 onwards in round 20. But every other game they're playing effectively on the Saturday and they have seven games on the Sunday in the back end of the season. So really, really good there for the Bulldogs. And on top of that, the Raiders, Titans and Knights are not bad as well. So the Raiders have roughly, you know, eight games playing on Saturday and Sunday. The Titans have eight. Split between five on Saturday, three on Sunday. And then the Knights have nine, five on Saturday and four on Sunday. So I guess when you're, you know, wanting enough that you can potentially use for looping purposes, then you want someone who plays as late in the round as possible because that obviously gives you more vice captaincy options. So coming down to it, you know, you're looking at Bulldogs players. There's not a lot that I kind of feel confident going for. That's the only issue. One thing I will say probably is that Declan Casey might be the only guy that I would consider because he's dual position fullback and center wing. Now, Casey's not bottom dollar, so that's the only downside there. He's about 254K. And he's played three games this year, but he's already kind of been supplanted by Blake Wilson. Now, Blake Wilson's 216, 200, same dual position, but the problem with Blake Wilson is he's already had one game where he was put on the bench. So Casey's been, 80 minutes on the wing or not at all. Wilson's played two games, 80 minutes on the wing, and then one game where he played 4 minutes off the bench. And he's been the one who's been selected most recently. So that makes me a little bit more concerned for Wilson, basically. So at the end of the day, you want to get someone who's going to play and have that dual position status and be really, really cheap. I guess if you wanted to have someone at halfback or 5/8, you can also look at Iverson Mattai, again, from the Doggies. But I don't know. I feel like those are the two positions that you want to have two guns in, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's too many options still with all four limbs and no soft tissue injuries at 5/8 and halfback. So, I think you want four guys there. Whereas, as you say, fullback, they're dropping like flies.
And the problem is you're looking at the other Bulldogs players, everyone else is either too expensive or, someone like a Josh Reynolds who easily could be on the bench anytime. You jump over the Titans, they don't have anyone who's dual position and cheap. And the other teams that you're looking at would be the Raiders. The Raiders do have James Schiller, who's centre wing fullback, but he's already played two games this year, so he's not too far off. And the Raiders outside back seem to like an injury or two, so I guess that kind of rules him out as an option for me as well. And I think the other team was the Knights. So this is where someone like a Bailey Hodgson might come into contention. He's actually out for the season, so he is bottom dollar. He might be the standout if you're okay not to have, all the games on the Sunday or something like that, like the Bulldogs do. There is Miles Martin as well from the Knights, who's front row forward, second row forward. So he might be the pick of the Nuffs up there, but I don't know much about Miles, so I'm not sure if he's close or not to a potential shot at playing first grade late in the season. So maybe do some research before you take a punt on him. Any other names that you've been able to dig up?
No, it's interesting you say that. I've actually got Miles Martin. He was my trade-in for Ray Stone this week. So, look, nothing confirmed yet, but I think that's where I'm going to go. I just wanted that dual position. I've got three guys up in the front row in Haas, Tarpany and Tohu, and I assume there's a few people in that ballpark, may even have Tino up there. And as you've said, we can actually afford to be playing these guys in the second row if necessary. So having Miles Martin there, that Sunday games are just a bonus, I think, for me.
I think for me, I've already got Samuel Afainu. I downgraded him as a buy round kind of, not necessarily like a one and done, but it sounds like he's really fallen out of favor. Part of the, Latu Fainu issue, I think he's, I guess, a bystander, innocent bystander. Maybe that's not the right description, but he seems to be going from starting at one point to now just not even considered for the team at all. And it's very under the radar, but he actually picked up dual position status along with a couple other guys this round. We probably should have spoken about that, but it's just such a non-event. Fainu, Harrison Edwards picked up the dual position. I think Jonah Pezet finally got halfback 5/8. And Declan Casey, I think, was the other guy who picked up the fullback center wing dual position. Outside of that, I don't know if there's anyone else that's actually gained dual position this round, and that's the dual position updates done for the season, I think. So Fainu, I've already got him. He's gone up in price. I don't see myself trading him out because it doesn't look like he's going to get a run anytime soon for the Seagulls. And, I mean, there's always Jack Howarth, right, from the Storm. Good old second row and center wing dual position. Braden Miliami, who I started with in round one, seems like he's fallen further and further away from a first-grade jersey. So, plus, he keeps getting himself injured anyway. He's 234, 800, so not bottom dollar, but he's been very handy for me. One of my MVPs from round one for my team. The number of trades he's been involved in, absolutely, absolutely gold.
Probably been in more trades than points he scored, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, that's not too hard, actually. But, yeah, that's my deep dive into that. I don't think there's anything else I really wanted to talk about for Nuffs, aside from try to stay away from those one and dones. I just don't think it's worth it. And we'll have a finish off one last simple question from Nick from the Champs Discord. He asked whether or not Adam Fanua-Blake is worth the extra 100,000 over Joey Tarpanay.
No. I would almost consider paying an extra 100,000 for Tarpanay than AFB on the run home. I think Tarpanay's really about to hit his straps with, as we've said, Big Puppy having a 2 weeks off, and Horsburgh potentially playing Origin round 19. Look, I think this could be Tapp's time.
Yeah, look, I don't know if I would pay the extra 100. If they were the same price, I would find that actually a little bit harder to decide, because as much as Fenua Blake is just, you know, he's, you look at his scores, right? He's averaged 82.6 over the last 8 rounds. So since round eight till now, so it's more than half the season, he's averaged 82.6. But even if you break down his base and base attack, sure, he's definitely gotten some attacking stats, which has bumped up his scoring. But, you know, you look at his base attack, 75, 85, 66, 65, 76, 65, 60, 68. Those are fantastic numbers, attacking stats or not. So it's hard to argue that he's just not going to keep getting it done. The minutes aren't out of its world. I mean, 65.1 is a little bit higher than his season, but they obviously need him to keep playing those minutes. And yeah, to me, I feel pretty comfortable going with Fenua Blake. It's just whether or not he's worth the extra 100K. I suggest maybe not, because that's going to make 100K is pretty valuable at the back end of the season. It can make some trades happen. So I kind of feel confident enough in Tarponet that I think he's, you know, we're going to see the best of him to come, as you've said. And I think that's where I wouldn't pay the extra 100. But if he could afford it, I certainly can get around getting Fenua Blake, because he's just on an absolute tear. So fair play for those who got him. And if you have him, you're obviously holding him for the season.
The only benefit I would say one benefit I do see with AFB is that round 20 coverage, right? Whereas Taps is out for round 20. And we just sort of spoke into existence how hard that's going to be. That would be a good reason to have him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great shout there. And I guess to finish up, one final thing that's the pro for Tarponet is obviously that dual position. And if you've got the right dual positions to swap them around, can be absolute gold late in the season when you're out of trades and you just need to try find a way to fit all your fit guys into your 17ers. And that's where, you know, being able to swap from second row to the front row can be the simple thing that you need to make happen. All right, mate, we've dived into plenty this week, you know, so much chat on team lists yesterday and lots of strategic discussions today. Any final words for round 18 or?
No, in Nico we trust, I guess, but it doesn't matter what he scores because everyone's going to have the C on him, I suppose.
Look, I think it's going to be a really interesting round. It's good to not have to scratch for players this week, and there's actually selection issues that we have to toss up, and that's often where there's some opportunities. Right now I'm considering sitting like an Alex Johnston. So, you know, that might be a little point of differentiation if he has a bit of a low one like he has the last couple of weeks, trusting the Warriors to get it done defensively against him. Obviously, it could also blow up in my face. It wouldn't be the first time I've benched Alex Johnston for 100. I mean, asking for a friend, would you play him?
I've currently got him in, but that's because I've got not a lot of better options. And if hearing you benching him, look, I'm going to play him. Let's go.
All right. Thanks for your confidence there. I thought you said yesterday you were going to potentially listen and follow what I was going to say.
I'm listening. I'm definitely listening.
All right, man. Thanks again for jumping on. Good luck this week. Good luck, everyone, with your decisions. And, yeah, in Nico we trust. Up the Sharkies, hey?
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
See you guys.